Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff you're doing for the community, that's for sure. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by AppletreeMediaWorks.com and the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, and we appreciate their support. Join me now from Washington, D.C., the man, the myth, the guy who deserves his own monument, Chris Garlock. Chris, welcome back.
Charles, so good to talk to you. Hey, you know, the big cheese is out of town, so we're having a good time here in D.C.
There you go. They raised the party flag on Washington, D.C.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about this. You know, Trump's over in France, and, you know, he only likes, you know, overdone steaks with ketchup. And, you know, I'm thinking they need to serve him up some, you know, some of those French specialties, you know, the snails and the, you know, the foie gras. I mean, all that, it's just going to kill him. Think about it, man. He'd be like, where's my overdone steak and ketchup? And they're like, no, we do not do that here.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, no fast food and fries on the French cuisine, but that's another story.
So, hey, I have got some great stuff. I got a whole bunch of stuff here for you. A couple things. SEIU 32 BJ, they've been organizing airport workers for a couple of years now. And their folks at a company called MBS, which is one of these subcontractors at the airport authority, they took a strike vote the other day. Now, they're not on strike yet, although you've probably heard that the same union's got some folks who are on strike up in Newark,
right,
up in the New York area. Yeah. Now, same union, this is the D.C. area folks. They are not yet on strike. They've approved a strike, and they're ready to strike, but they're not out yet. And I talked to Jaime Contreras, and, you know, they've got some talks going on. They're hopeful they can work stuff out. But these folks, they're just fed up. You know, they're not getting paid diddly. They got, you know, basically no health care. And health care, obviously, as you can see, you know, is a mess here in D.C. There's no help from
right.
a Congress coming as far as that goes. So they're taking matters in their own hands, Charles. They want this stuff settled, you know, with their employer.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Chris, I got to tell you, it's amazing to me with the amount of money that flows through these organizations that, you know, they just can't seem to get their people good, solid health care coverage. I mean, we've got a hospital here in the Pittsburgh area. The claims are a nonprofit. They've got $6 billion in the bank. They claim they have no employees, but they also have 50,000 people working for them. And the long and short of it is their employees don't have health care coverage.
Right.
I mean, this is a hospital system. They don't even have a clinic set up in the hospital for the employees.
Interesting, right?
They got to run a food bank every holiday season for their employees. I mean, really?
Well, you know, here's the good news and the bad news. What I mean, you know, the good news is this means that, you know, folks who stand up and fight for working people are never going to be out of work. That's
right.
The good news. The bad news is, you know, come on, people, let's get this stuff straightened out. You know, this is not right. You know, it's funny. One of the things I wanted to mention was that, and I'm sure you know about this because I think you were around back when this happened. This is the 140th anniversary, or tomorrow actually technically, of the Great Railroad Strike back in 1877. You remember that
yes,
one, right?
I remember that one very specifically. As a matter of fact, I was the guy holding up the caboose.
I remember that. Well, seriously, it's amazing. People should go look this up, right? It was an amazing strike. First of all, basically, nobody, you know, none of these folks were in the union, which was part of the problem.
Right.
What was interesting was that they literally, people in the cabooses, people in the trains, the B&O, the Baltimore and Ohio management, cut wages for the third time in a year. We're talking July, so this is halfway through the year. They cut wages, and not by a couple percent. It was a 10% wage cut, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, here's the deal, Charles. Keep doing the work that you're doing. Thank you very much. But we're going to pay you 10% less, and that's on top of the last two pay cuts that we've given you this year so far. You see where we're going with this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So they were like, and these are people that, that work, you know, these are, you know, people that are running the trains, and they're pretty tough, tough people. And they're like, yeah, we're not doing this. So they didn't just, you know, they didn't just walk off the job and do picketing like we do. These people took the trains and like ran them back into the sheds. And we're like, yeah, these are not going anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they, and so, you know, very soon, and this was, you know, this was back when everything was on the, I mean, railroads all over the place. I'm from upstate New York, and I've been on, you know, some of these hiking, biking trails that are, you know, they used to run, you know, railroads right down into every little small town right. all over the country, right?
Right.
So basically, within a few days, you're talking 17 states, people were on strike. They were on strike. They didn't even have a union, Charles. Didn't even have a union. They were just fed up.
Oh yeah, you know, and imagine how much more difficult it was to organize back then, especially when you didn't have the at least the laws to back you up.
Well, and in some places, this was considered. Now, this was shortly after they just had the French Revolution a few years ago, and people here were freaking out. When I say people, I'm talking about the people with the mansions and the, you know, the robber barons running mm-hmm. the railroads. And they're thinking, oh, geez, this is people are going to like take over and take all our goodies away from us. So they weren't just worried about, you know, people wanting their 10% back. People might just decide, you know, we'll just take the whole damn railroad. You know?
There you go.
It's pretty. I tell you, I was just doing some research this morning. There's going to be a day-long celebration over in Baltimore. This is a big deal. There's, you know, plaques and there's a museum, and it's on our website, deeklabor.org, and click on calendar, and it's some pretty amazing stuff just to think about, you know, how people did things back then. They didn't have unions. They were really frustrated. They were fed up. It was, you know, there was another depression, you know, that happened because every couple of years there'd be an economic depression. And what was interesting was that, you know, for example, the railroad bosses tried to send in the political lackeys tried to send in the National Guard, right?
Right.
Well, a lot of the people in the National Guard were railroad men themselves or brothers or, you know, fathers. I mean, you know, they're like, yeah, we're not. In fact, there are some stories of the National Guard just turning over their guns and ammunition to the strikers.
Imagine that. Imagine
that.
Right? You know, it's incredible. You know, these stories, we talk about some of the things, you know, we talk about the railroad strike. We talk about the strike in Homestead, where the Pinkerton folks came up on a barge.
Yep.
And,
you
know,
it's gauntlet.
It is. And thank God we don't have to deal with it today. But unfortunately, there are some people that want to push it like that. They want to make unions illegal. They want to make striking illegal. They just all that. They want people beholding to them financially for their homes, for their family, for their education, so on and so forth. And we've got to continue to push back and say, no, that's not acceptable. It's not acceptable for union people. It's not acceptable for anybody else. And we're going to protect the community.
Well, and I think one of the things that people forget, Charles, you know, these folks who are trying to, you know, do all this stuff, whether it's the political leaders or the people like the Koch brothers or, you know, whatever the folks, whether they're, you know, in your town or here, I think one of the things they forget, because they're just thinking about, you know, making their numbers for the next quarterly report, they forget that, you know, this country does not belong to them. Right. That you know, the people, we the people, you know, do have power. Now, you know, it's on us that we don't use it as much as we should. And so one of the reasons that, you know, we cover a lot of labor history, you know, here at the Metro Council and Union City and our various things that we do, you know, it's not because we're just always looking back, but one of the things is that as you move forward, you know, and we've got, you know, all these stories about things that are happening right now today with workers, but you need to understand where this came from, that this country has a rich, and you know yourself there in Pittsburgh, and an amazing history of working people fighting back. And,
right.
You know, yeah, we lose, but we win, too. And so that's why things like this 140th celebration, I think they're important. You know, and so I encourage anybody, you know, in the Baltimore area to stop on by and check that out, because I think it's, you know, a lot of people don't know, we don't know our own history. And if we don't know our own history, then, you know,
we're doomed to repeat it.
Doomed to repeat it. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Chris, we got to get going, brother. How do we find out more about you and the D.C. Labor Council?
DCLabor.org. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
There you go. Chris, we appreciate it very much, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Have a great weekend.
Absolutely. It was Chris Garlock of the D.C. Labor Council. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.